الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله معنا. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بالسنة وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the companionship of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. In one of unofficial gathering of some friends, I was mentioning that they inquired that on which topics that you will talk to us. So I said a thought struck me that inshallah I will now try to make some research and speak on 10 Sahaba. Take the famous 10 Sahaba and speak about it. And after that, inshallah, take 10 Anbiya alayhi salam, prophets, and speak about it. And then take 10 salient features of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and speak about it. And then take 10 scholars in Islam. For example, the four Aima Arba, four Imams of jurisprudence, and the six compilers of Ahadith, and speak about them. And then take 10 awliya, 10 saints, and speak about them. So, someone asked, it was an informal gathering. The Mufti Sahib, 10 saints when you talk of, are you talking of living saints or those who have passed away? So I said, no, I'm talking of those who have passed away. So I asked, why are you talking? He said, no, if you're talking of living saints, we are available, you can talk about that. If you say everybody is available for sainthood, then everybody thinks he's saints, alhamdulillah. Respecting others in this gathering, I want to define who is the Sahabi, companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then begin discussing about Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Respecting elders, a Sahabi is that male or female who either saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or sat in the gathering of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the era of him. And this was done in the halat, in the condition of Iman. That's the value of Iman. Because Abu Jahl also saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he is going to Jahannam. Abu Lahab also saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he is described he is going to Jahannam. But Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, who he saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, and whilst walking on the surface of the earth, his footsteps are heard in Jannah. This is the value of Iman. And that person, after seeing Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or sat in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away in the state of Iman. Passed away in that state. So there is two important things. That one is that to look at or sit in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, if you technically disqualify that person who dreams about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this age, inshallah, if someone dreams about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we would say that dream is truthful. But because he dreamt about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he or she does not classify what a sahabi. Little of that, he does not classify what a pious person. Respected elders, and that person must have passed away in the stage of Iman, believing in Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believing in the Ahkam, and believing in the total deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders, when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was 18 years old, he came into contact with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at that time Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's age was 20 and a half. And they were friends, they were companions, at that early stage already. And they should transact together, they should deal together, and there are some reports stating that they had made some journeys for business and transaction together also. Point I want to make by mentioning that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they met when Hazrat Abu Bakr was 18 years old, that means from that age of 18 till the demise of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the demise of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at 63 years old, that means the companionship, the togetherness, and that Hazrat Abu Bakr is that sole sahabi who had 43 years of companionship with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, 43 years of companionship of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who says that one of his beloved things is to look at the face of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who, respected elders, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the call towards Tawheed as Risalat and Akhirat, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself said that when he presented Islam to anybody and everyone, they hesitated, besides Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who was presented to come towards Islam and to come towards Iman, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he testified immediately. There was no thought that I will go home and think about it, or I will consider it, I'll ponder over it. It was immediate acceptance. He accepted it. He became Muslim. At that stage, history, respected elders, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not preach Islam openly, and they could not make da'wah and tabligh openly, and they could not preach the wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. They could not call towards Risalat openly. The first person to accept Islam, the first male to accept Islam was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And the first person to go out to the Mataf area and to call towards Tawheed was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala is the first lady to accept Islam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is the first young person to accept Islam. Hazrat Ali's father, Abdul Muttalib, Hazrat Abu Talib, he had financial difficulties. As a result, he gave his son, that is Hazrat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali, in the care of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who was under the wing of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was young, and he was the first young person to accept Islam. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, let alone being the first lady to accept Islam, she is the first person in Islam to hear the Quran. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down after Jibreel alayhi sallam gave the first ayat of Iqra, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came direct to his wife. And he was the first person in the history of Islam to listen to Quran. Hazrat Zaid is the first slave to accept Islam. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu expressed Islam openly in the Mataf area, it is reported that the Kuffar and Mushrikeen pounced upon him and began to hit him, began to brutally attack him, began to jump on him, began to hit him with their shoes, and began to rough him up to such an extent that he was falling unconscious, getting up, and they repeatedly hit him and they repeatedly harassed him. Here, at avoiding the use of one, two words, generally what we say that Sahaba were punished is a wrong statement. Because you are punished when you do something wrong. You are persecuted if you do something wrong. Sahaba did nothing wrong. So they were harassed, they were put into difficulty, and they were being hit, and they were being brutally assaulted for nothing. Because to fall towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no sin. So Sahaba, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Zaid were falling, and these kuffar and mushrikeen were perpetually harassing them, putting them into difficulty. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who is reported that they hit him so badly, brutally attacked him so badly, that it is stated that when someone put their hand on his head, then the hair came off. Now, you know how much haiti, how much of attack that must have been, that when the hair now becomes soft on the head, and there is no part of the head not be injured and harmed. It is stated when they should put their hand on his head and touch it, the hair should come off. And he was constantly saying, while being harassed by them, that are you going after a person who says Allah is Rabb? Are you going to go behind one who says Allah is one? Meaning Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, his family members picked him up and took him home. And when they took him home, that time Islam was so-called underground. When he regained consciousness, first thing he asked, how is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Respected elders, rather sad and unfortunately today, that when we get up from some unfortunate state or some difficulty, what do we ask for? Maybe there are those who are asking for their bank balances, there are those who are asking for their factories, there are those who are asking for their premises, there are those who are crying for their wives, there are those who are crying for their children. And we, addressing myself first, the respected elders, our focus is not there.
Sahaba Israel had their focus right on Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our focus unfortunately is shifting and shifting. Therefore our values and our priorities are being confused. He repeatedly asked, they told him, take some water, take some food, recover, gain some strength. He said, no, I want to see the Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Until I do not physically see him in good condition, I will do nothing. His mother, Ummul Khayr, she made inquiries that where is the Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how can we locate him? And in the darkness of the night, she, with the aid of another woman, Jameel, took Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No sooner Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was satiated, now he was calm, he was cool, and began to recover. Today, unfortunately, we go around and you ask a person, you say, no, when I'm in difficulty or I'm sad and I've got anxiety, then I have to go buy one very big novel and read it. Or you see what another person say, that, you know, when I'm depressed, then I must go to the video shop and get this thing out. And, you know, when I'm depressed, then inevitably he'll tell you he's doing the wrong thing. Whereas the reply for a person who is depressed or getting some anxiety, he says, no, I will go and read some Quran, I will go in the path of Allah, I will go out and strive and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who brings the condition and Allah will bring good condition for him. In the sense of elders, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came from Mi'raj, because remember, the act of Mi'raj took place, the event of Mi'raj took place when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarram. And when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, he began speaking about it. Because he was in the home of Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, his auntie, when this event took place. It's a lengthy event. The respected elders, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was out that time. The next morning when he came, then Abu Jahl, he was called Abu al-Hikam, father of wisdom. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed it and said, he is Abu Jahl, his father of ignorance. Abu Jahl personally came to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told him that, do you know what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying? Do you know what your friend is saying? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, what is he saying? He says that he has gone in one night from Makkah to Jerusalem and Jerusalem up to the heavens and spoken and met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, met his Rabb and he has come back. All that in one night, he said, he has done. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, I believe in this. So Abu Jahl was astonished and surprised. He said, how you can believe? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daily he is telling us about Allah, we haven't seen. He is talking to us about Jannat and Jahannam, we haven't seen. So he is saying this definitely has occurred. This is very small to what he is telling us daily about. This is very small what he is telling us. And on this event, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala with the title of Siddiq. The title of Siddiq he was given on this event. Yeah, respected elders, I want to mention one point, that in this world, in this dunya, whether we are in Lusaka or South Africa or Toronto, wherever we are, among locality and society, you will find two types of thinking people, and two concepts prevailing, and two ideologies floating around. One based upon Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and one based upon Abu Jahl. the concept of Abu Jahl, to question, to query, to walk, to jeer. The question of the method and ideology of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, whatever Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, I will accept it. And policy of Muslim is first to accept, then to think about it, and then to understand it. Understand this very clearly. This is the tarfeed. First to accept it. I must accept, I must make my salah. I must accept, I must adorn the libas of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must accept, I must keep the beard. I must accept that the woman has to go in hijab. Then I will think about it. Why I must go for salah? Why I must pay zakat? Why I must make wuzu? Why I must keep a beard? And if my intellectual capacities allow me to get an answer, then good. If it does not allow me, then there is no fault in the sun, there is no fault in the celestial light, the fault lies in the seer, in the eyes of the man. And if you can understand, alhamdulillah. If you cannot understand in the grave, no one in the grave or in the akhirat will tell you why you made wuzu and what was the wisdom and secrets and hidden things in wuzu. No one is going to ask that. But definitely they will be going to question, did we make wuzu, did we keep the beard, did we make the salah? And the ideology of Abu Jahl is the kuffar, mushrikeen, atheistic ideology. And the ideology of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, submission, Islam, itaat, and obedience, and getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his lies, let him discuss. And he spent with elders. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that person who had 40,000 dirhams in his possession. Because Abu Bakr means the father of cattle. The Surah Baqarah, we read Baqarah cattle. So Abu Bakr, father of cattle, meaning that he had abundant cattle. Because of his immense wealth and property, even the title of Abu Bakr. 40,000 dirhams. At the time of Hijrat, when the report was that he had 6,000 left. At the time of demise, he was only 6,000. That means what he has done with his wealth, entire wealth is gone. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that I can repay everybody besides Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. I can repay everybody besides Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I was allowed to take a friend, I should have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But there is companionship in Islam. And he took Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala as companion. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala literally loved to spend his wealth in the path of Allah and free those who were bounded by the kuffar and mushrikeen. Respected elders, it was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he witnessed how Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was being tortured and tormented by Umayyah, that he went to Umayyah and he said, Umayyah, what are you doing? And Umayyah is saying that this slave of mine does not want to listen. I am beating him and I am tired of beating him. And he does not want to stop saying ahad. See, our stage is after we accept Kalima, after we accept become Muslim and everything, and we go away to some foreign country and we don't see anybody looking around, but that restaurant is alright and this cafe is alright. You know what I mean. Yeah, respected elders, in the scorching sand and the heat, and you, most of you, alhamdulillah, have been to the Makkah and Medina and know how hot it is. And in that heat, in the midday, in the noon hours, to be on that sand and the rocks and the beachy, respected elders, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala went to Umayyah and said, whatever price you want, I pay.
Umayyah said, I got rid of the slave. You take it at any price you want. Umayyah stipulated. Abu Bakr said, you stipulate your price. He stipulated the price. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought it. What Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought? He bought the first was it. That's what he bought. Respectfully. He bought the financial minister in Islam. Because Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Madinah to Munawwara, who was controlling the finances of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was controlling finances of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders, we know of the Ashara Mubashara. The Ashara Mubashara, in one gathering, that means in one gathering, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned 10 Sahabi's names, and he mentioned them and said, they are in Jannah. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Usman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Sa'd fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Sa'id fil Jannah. Respected elders, in one sitting, he did this. And 6 out of those 10, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brought it to Islam. 6 out of those 10, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brought it to Islam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. By his da'wah, by his effort, by his tabligh, 6 out of the Ashara al-Mubashara, 6 out of the 10, he went to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told him, accept Islam, Islam is good, and Tawheed is good, Hazrat Usman accepts. He went to Zubair Talha and preached Islam, propagated Islam, and he said, yes, he will accept Islam. Respected elders, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he decided that now I am tired of these people of Makkah, and I am now going to leave, and I am going to go away from Makkah to Mukarramah, because you cannot worship here in peace, you cannot pray here in peace, you cannot read Quran in peace here. So he decided that one day he will go. He packed a little bit of goods and decided he will leave Makkah to Mukarramah. When he was on the outskirts of Makkah to Mukarramah, that a person by the name of Ibn Zughana met him. And Ibn Zughana asked him, that, oh, Abu Bakr, where you going? He said, no, I'm going from this place. So why are you going? He said, no, here we cannot practice in peace, we cannot worship in peace, we cannot read Quran in peace, nothing. So Ibn Zughana, respected elders, he told him, you come with me to Makkah. He was a powerful tradesman, merchant. And in those days, one person could take another under his protection. Then Ibn Dumana went and addressed those people there, told them, see, Abu Bakr is under my protection. Meaning that I am now guardian of Abu Bakr. Meaning that if someone has to harm Abu Bakr, that means you are going to harm me. At that stage, before Ibn Dughana took Abu Bakr to Makkah al-Mukarramah, then Ibn Dughana told him something. He told him that, oh Abu Bakr, why are people harassing you? You are a person who feeds the poor, who cares for the destitute and the orphans. You are a person who helps the needy. You are a person who is generous and hospitable. You are a person who worries about family ties and maintains them. Respected elder, Ibn Dughana is a person from outside. He is commenting on Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's character and personality. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came from the king, and when he came to his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he began to say, Zambiluni, Zambiluni, cover me up, and covered him up. And then he narrated, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrated what happened in the cave and what transpired in the cave. Then Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, do not fear, no harm will come to you. Because you feed the poor, you look after the widows and the orphans and the destitute. You are maintaining relationship, you are generous and hospitable. What I am trying to say here, that there is togetherness in character and personality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's why he has to be personally. Respected elders, the wife knows the husband the best. And the trainer would know the trainer. Yet the wife is predicting that, like we're talking about one person. There is togetherness, which we call mahiyat in Urdu. There is togetherness. The qualities are together. The first person who gave the call of Tawheed, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first person who gave the call of Tawheed openly, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. The second of the two, both of them in the cave, in Hijrat, both of them, the respected elders, one who went for Mi'raj and the one testified for the Mi'raj. And when they went on the journey of Hijrat together, and when they went to Badr, they went together, when they came to Quba, they went together, when they went to Uhud, they went together, when they went to Khaybar, they went together, when they Hunayn together, their homes were near each other, and today they are buried together. And today, they are buried together. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Abu Bakr is my companion in this world, and he'll be my companion of the Hawza, with me in the Hawza Kawthar. He is my companion here, and he is my companion at the Hawza Kawthar. Can you imagine how fortunate is Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that he has got togetherness to such an extent. This togetherness is that when they reach towards bearing Quba, then the people of Quba, they are waiting for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the children are ready. They want to sing one small song, Tala al Badru alayna. They want to sing that song. Now, respected elders, when they come towards Quba right near, then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who senses that these people are confused. They do not know who is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that stage, his beard was still black. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had already got whiteness in his beard. And to avoid this confusion, and to alleviate this confusion, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu took his shawl and he put it on top of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, displaying that this is the Nabi of Allah whom you're waiting for, this is the Rasul of Allah whom you're waiting for. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders, should visit Sahabis. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the only Sahabi whom Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go twice. Once in the morning and once in the evening. Respected elders, and in relationship to where they were staying, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's house, behind Safa Marwa. If you go these days and you go behind Safa Marwa, then you will find some buildings and they have got brown shutters. This is where Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha should stay. And the home of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the respected elders, when you go to Misfala, Misfala is where at this moment the Hilton Towers are. And if you go presently, I will have to mention it, that if you have to go, there is a shop, a Rolex shop. There, exactly there, Hazrat Abu Bakr's house was. And his masjid. 15, 16 years ago, I've seen that place. Respected elders, so can you imagine Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should come from right this side, where behind Safa Marwa, come straight down the side to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. In Arabic, we say that area is called Ma'ala. Ma'ala, where Chapra Bazaar is, where Masjid al-Jinn is, where Jannatul Ma'ala is, the graveyard of Makkah, that is called Ma'ala. And where now the Hilton Towers, etc., it is called Misfala. Ma'ala means upstream, and Misfala downstream. Why? Because the water should come from that side, from upstream, come past the Kaaba and go to downstream, Misfala. So coming from Ma'ala, past the Kaaba, going to Misfala. That is why, next time now when you go to the Haram, then you know the Haram, the Kaaba has got four corners. One is Hajar Aswad. And before that is Rukda Yaman. Now when you're coming from Hajar Aswad and you're making it Tawaf, then there is another corner. That is called Rukda Iraqi. And the next corner is called Rukda Sham or Rukda Shami. Then the next corner is called Rukda Yaman. Now when you go, you will look from the Safa Marwa side and you will see Hajar Aswad corner and Rukda Iraqi corner. You will see that there is a 10-15 degree angle. Why? The water must come from Misfala and not directly come onto the Kaaba. It must come and slide off the Kaaba. That is why the angle is there. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders, he came to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and he said, "Oh Abu Bakr, is there anybody in the house? Can you come outside?" So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala understood that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to tell him something important. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, "Don't worry, it's only my children at the moment. You may talk freely." Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the order has come, we are going to go to Medina. The order has come, we are going to Medina. Make preparations. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said that I have got the conveyance ready. And I have been preparing the conveyance. Because all Sahaba were slowly, secretly going away. And it was a question of time when they are going to go. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come now with a message. And he began to fear and cry. Children of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala were saying that we have seen people cry out of fear, and we have seen people cry for the first time they saw someone cry out of joy. And Abu Bakr began to cry and weep out of joy that he had been chosen to go with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They understood the companionship of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he would purchase one of those animals. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, "No, it is designed for the purpose of going." He said, "No, I will buy it." Respected elders, he purchased it. This juncture says something. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens, that when we get little bit so-called pious, we want everything for free. Whereas this is not Islam. That we should pay for the things, and we should pay for services rendered, and we should not be those who are looking for handouts. We are people of dignity, we are people of integrity. Respected elders, if Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Let's go," if the Abu Bakr should have mind, 40,000 is left to 6,000, what is a few more thousand? Respected elders, the procedure was simple. They are going to leave Bakkatul Mukarrama. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is going to tell one of his servants who tend sheep that they must go over their tracks with their sheep and carry over goats. Because when they are going to be walking, and when they are walking, the respected elders, their tracks are going to be on the floor. And I'll give you an example. By this example, you will understand what I'm trying to say, how you chase tracks. There were two Arabs talking, and the third one was listening. One Arab said to the other one, that there is a camel grazing, said, yes, there is a camel grazing. Second one said, you know, the camel that grazing here does not have one eye function. The other one said, let alone one eye not functioning, the camel is limping. So the other one said, let alone one eye not functioning and let alone limping, it's got a rash on its body. So the one that was listening, he said, you're talking about my camel. How do you know all this thing about my camel? You haven't seen my camel. You are talking about my camel. How do you know so much about my camel? He said, no, very easy. That by the footprints you can make out that there is one is deeper and one is not so deep. So that means this camel here is limping. And this camel here is only eating one side of the vegetation, it's not eating the other side. That means it only can see, and what it sees it eats, what it cannot see it not eat. And on the branches here, you can see the skin of the camel. After eating, it is rubbing its body onto the vegetation because it's got a rash, it's itching. That's why it is, has got a rash, and the skin of this is on the tree. This is what we call, what I'm talking to you is a science. It's called Ilpakiyapa. By observation, you study by observation and you come to conclusions. Imam Shafi Ramtulale was an expert on this. I've written this down in one of my books. I've given some examples. Respected elders, so Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, they were also experts. They say that Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, by looking at the droppings of the camel, could make out where this camel came from, which tribe it belonged, what it ate, and which direction it came, what was the weather where it came from, and where it intends going. And this date that it had eaten, which orchard it came, and who's the owner of the orchard, from one drop. Because in the battle they should use this. When they were having battles, they should look at the dropping, and then they should open the dropping and see all this information itself. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he said that that person must come and with his camera, with his cattle, must go over our footprints. And they proceeded towards the cave. Respected elders, when they got into the cave, then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he went inside first. He cleared the cave. Here also remember that everyone plays hero and brave, but when he comes to the crossroads, no one wants to go front. Everyone is very brave until something happens. But what is going to be in the cave? He goes inside to the cave. That means he's putting his life on his palm and going inside. Anything can happen there. Just today, cleans it up, falls the beer, drops in love. And he plugs all the holes, he takes his cloth, he plugs all the holes. He makes Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lying out there on his leg. Now how fortunate are those people whom Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with? And how fortunate is the person upon whose left Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hit? Today we feel sometimes happy, you know, I carry someone's shoes or carry someone's shawl. Oh, I helped a person at the airport, I carried his bag. Yeah, the head of the Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala at the lap of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hole was not covered. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala put his foot there. As respected elders, from there, historians are of different opinion. I can't find anything certain. Some say snake, some say insect, some say scorpion. Began to sting Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, respected elders, love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not want to disturb Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not move, but could not bear this. And respected elders began to tear, began to cry. The tears fell on the cheeks of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he got up. If Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alimul ghayb, he should tell Abu Bakr, don't put your leg there, get stung by a scorpion. Respected elder, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and asked Abu Bakr, what is that? So Abu Bakr explained. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his blessed saliva and applied it onto the place where Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was stung. And immediately, naturally, he hit that. Then the people were looking for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Respected elders, they came so near that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, etc. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were able to see them. According to narration, they were able to see their foot, the legs, the feet, etc. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who became concerned. I'm not using the word afraid, I'm using the word concerned. Allah Ta'ala's ayat something. That inna Allah ma'ana. La ta'azam inna Allah ma'ana. Now, respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, all-powerful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran al-Kareem is perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran al-Kareem is divine. Allah, Rabbul Izzat says, La tahzan, that do not grieve, do not be sorrowful, do not be concerned. Inna Allah, definitely Allah, verily Allah, ma'ana is with you, is with us. Who would Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he threw down his staff, then the staff turned into a snake. As a result, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam took two steps backwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La tahaf, do not be afraid. Because this word khawf, this Arabic word khawf, means fear of life, fear of what life. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word huzn, la tahzan. And this word means fear of someone else's life. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is not afraid of his life, not worried about his concern. He is worried about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is concerned of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The respected elders, how Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala gave his life, his property, his sacrifices for Islam. We also, inshallah, we should try to do that. By striving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders, to sacrifice for deen can never come if we don't know. To learn how to sacrifice for deen cannot come if we sit in our houses and we sit in our premises. Unless we come out, then we can really prove ourselves, and then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, the unseen of help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repeatedly come when we repeatedly go out. It is a question of us taking the step. It is a question of us going out to witness the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this going out is for our own benefit. Respected elders, the person who goes out benefits, and the person who stays does not benefit. It is very simple. The person who goes out will benefit. The person who goes out in the rain will get the benefit of that rain. And the person who goes out in the sunshine will get the rays of the sunshine. The person who goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely get the benefits of going out. He will get the benefits, firstly he himself, and because he himself is going, his family members will get the benefit, the locality will get the benefit.